sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters. Period.
Well, hello.
Hey, how are you this fine day?
This fine day, I am I'm good.
Yeah.
well, we talked about it a little bit. I'm having just some slight issues here at home. Quarantine is starting to get to me just a hair because I wanted to get out of the house, and then once I went out of the house with my partner, I was like, I should have just stayed home. So yeah, there's that back and forth thing that's sort of happening. Like, well, do I go outside because I just want to, do I need to really get out, or is my private time, my space, my 100% me alone, is that more valuable?
Is that what you need right now?
It's like just kind of figuring out what that is. He leaves me alone a lot. Like, I'm in my office, I'm in my bedroom, I'm in my bathtub. I mean, those are I have this end of the house. It's my wing.
Uh-huh.
And he has the kitchen and the living room and his office. You know, those are kind of where he circles. But when we decide to venture out because we have things to do, I don't know that it's worth it to be cramped in the car together.
Mm.
I think social distancing is going to show a lot of people how much they need their alone time.
Yeah. Oh, I could not be living in my house with somebody else right now.
Yeah.
And that not being able to get out. No, I would not, it wouldn't be good for either of us.
And on the flip side of that, I'm sure there's lots of people who are like, yeah, but I'm with like my best friend, or I can't imagine being alone the whole time and not having somebody to at least quarrel with or talk to about what right way the toilet paper roll goes on the dispenser.
That's so funny. I was actually going to ask you that question when we got started today, if you were
out of toilet paper. No.
I don't know why, but I was thinking about that. I was changing a toilet paper roll, and I'm like, this is a weirdly interesting discussion to me. I don't know. I mean, right. I'm just always fascinated. Which direction? I didn't used to have an opinion. I have a very strong opinion now. So that's why came up.
Well, what's your opinion? Because I go with Martha Stewart on all of my, anything that I question about home interior or how things are supposed to be done or etiquette, whatever, I always default to Martha Stewart. So I'll look it up and I'll see, because I think she's like the guru of all things home. So
I have become an over.
Huh. Interesting.
I didn't think it used to matter, and I don't know if it didn't, but so in my current bathroom, in my apartment in Duluth, I have a toilet paper roll that sits like above a shoulder height and up towards the back.
Okay.
I didn't become an over advocate until probably a couple years ago. So I'm like, well, did it bother me, or was it just a little extra reach and I didn't think a thing of it? But then I don't remember why. I know there was some actor who from Californication who made a big deal out of it. And that's where I think I really started to think about it. But then I started realizing, no, I really do prefer over. It's a little bit easier to reach. I don't have to reach quite as far to try to get it if it's spun out of control. And then, if you really want to be fancy, you can turn it into a triangle. But, and it's harder if you happen to put a new one on and you didn't start it. It's harder to start in my bathroom, at least, if it's not an over, if it's an under. So I have become very mindful about my over, and I think that's hilarious.
Now, I think that for the most part, I really could give a shit. Like, I really don't care. However, it depends on the dispenser.
Yes.
Now, in my old house, I just had regular toilet paper dispensers, and I really didn't care. I had four kids, so I was happy that they changed the toilet paper roll. I did not care what way the toilet paper was on, up or down, whatever. And I didn't think it was one of those things that I needed to teach them. I figured they'd learn for themselves and figure it out. But when I moved to this house here in Cross Lake, they have these interesting toilet paper dispensers that are only one-sided, and it's just like a stick sticking out.
Oh,
and you just lay the roll on it.
Okay.
Well, if you don't do the under for that and pull in the direction of the back of the toilet, the toilet paper roll goes flying, and then it's rolling out of control out of the bathroom door if you didn't close the door.
Yeah, like, okay. So
here,
I don't have
to close the door all the time, you know, so the roll goes out into the hallway, and then try pulling it back. You know, you're pulling it really, really slow, like you're pulling the keys to a jail cell, you know. You're pulling, just trying to get control of the roll again, and in case you need more. And it pisses me off is what it does. So now I'm totally about putting it on the underside because of the dispenser.
Okay. Well, okay. So I can totally acquiesce to that, because honestly, like in my previous two houses to this, it wouldn't really matter because you can easily reach it.
Yeah.
You know, so in my one house, I had a cat who thought the toilet paper was delish. And, so I had to like put it up higher so it wasn't on a roll, but she didn't need toilet paper often, but man, I tell you, on random occasions, I would come in and she would just like, I would see her and she'd be like, she just have this look in her eye like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I just cannot stop.
Funny. Well, this is a good segue into what we're going to talk about today, because I think that the whole world just needs to accept everybody's differences.
It can be very helpful.
It can be.
Yes.
And, you know, I accept you for how you put your toilet paper roll on. You accept me for how I dispense my toilet paper.
Well, if I'm ever at your house and I use it, I will know there is a method to the madness, and I will have respect for your toilet paper dispenser.
Right. So today we're actually going to do a follow-up recording to our Big Dick, Little Dick conversation. Little Dick, Big Dick is actually the way it came out. We talked about small penises and micro penises 2-3 weeks ago, I guess that would be
something
now.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And then the week after that, we released the issues around having a larger penis. And Judy and I have both listened to those recordings since, and felt like we should have just a little bit of a conversation just around the idea of, I'll just say that some of the statements that I made in those recordings did not come out the way that I had hoped they'd come across. And maybe nobody was offended, or maybe they were. And this is where I think as women, we just think men are tougher than we are, that they don't get hurt or they don't feel shamed or judged or whatever. And that is not necessarily the case. So, you know, speaking as a woman for women about male appendages that we don't really have any clue what it's like to live with is sort of presumptuous for us, but we are female hosts and we didn't have a male guest on the show to counterbalance things or whatever. And even though we try really hard to come at things from all angles, we don't want to promote any sort of body shaming or making people feel less than or not accepted for however they present sexually in this beautiful world that we have.
Right. Right. And can I say what my original sort of the original thought that spurred on this whole episode in the first place?
Of course. Yes.
So I was listening. And so, I mean, it's interesting just to, when I grew up as being a kid, I didn't so much have an awareness of, you know, like, yes, men and women were different. Men and women could do different things. But I think as I've gotten older, I become more aware of where privileges stand in both sexes, right? Both men and women have their own privileges and they have their lack of privilege. But when I was editing it, I had just a momentary gut reaction. And this comes from my life experience, as every guy has of whatever size his penis or whatever is, right? But my first reaction, or one of the things when we were editing and you were talking about men having, like, there's real frustration around having a larger penis and a smaller penis. But I think when I was listening, it was the larger penis that really caught me. And I had a momentary gut reaction of, you know, oh, you know, kind of the oh poor you kind of thing. In the mindset of, again, and not that I take that all the way, because I do get that there is real issue and there have been judgments that really do have effect on people. But from a female perspective, in my experience, in my life, I am thinking, my gosh, the amount of judgment I face that I'm very aware of sometimes, sometimes more than others, of, you know, just getting up, getting dressed, leaving the house. And I was in a group, you know, it's not something that I massively focus on, and but I feel it. Other women feel it. I was in a group of women. We were working on a particular project when I was at school. And I don't remember what spurred this conversation, but there was a discussion around women and judgment. And I made the comment about, you know, for women, it's sometimes difficult enough for us to get out of bed after all of the stuff we have to see, you know, TV, magazines, judgments made, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and I was also working on a Photoshop project at the time. So we were looking at Photoshop pictures of men and women and seeing how the pictures that go out to look normal, just how they're doctored. And I had one of my group partners at the time, she's like, you know, I am so aware of this stuff, but she's like, as I'm looking at these pictures, the normal pictures are starting to look wrong to me. Like, and she's like, that's messed up that's happening up in my own head. But we were having this discussion, and I said what I had said about, you know, hard enough to sometimes just get up and get out of the house and go, depending on what you're walking into, but being into the world. And one of the other women said, yeah, I think you're being a little bit hyperbolic there. And a couple of the other women said, no, that's kind of our lives. Like, that, you know, just, I understand exactly where you're coming from kind of thing. And it goes to show women all have different experiences and how we, you know.
Perceived.
Yeah, right.
How we perceive things.
We perceive things, the experiences we've had. I mean, I grew up as a kid who was really targeted and bullied for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. So you carry some of that with you as you move forward in life, and you see things and you hear other people's things. And, you know, I can't just be like, well, tough it up, because it's like, no, that stuff can be really hard and really hard hitting. And so I think that's a mindful thing as we are approaching another person physically. But I think what kind of all came together and collided in my head and kind of made me have that feeling wasn't that I dismiss the challenges that men have in those situations, because I do think they are very real, and some of them have had some really traumatic responses where women or partners have just not been kind at all, not good, not cool. But I think I had the moment of, well, but you know, just that I'm sorry that's an experience you're having, but please, can you understand how many other people feel and are judged? And as you and I were having a conversation off recording, you know, that's true for men and women in different and similar ways, I think. So, you know, it's just, I mean, some of the stuff that I have heard women say that guys have said to them, a friend of mine, you know, she's a larger woman, and she very attractive and so freaking smart. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful human being. And some of the stuff that guys would come up to her at the bar and say, I'm just like, why did you even open your mouth? You didn't have to say that. Or she'd go out with them, go home, sleep with them. And they would say, yeah, I really normally only go out with size 5, size 6 girls. So, you know, this was fun, but I'm never going to talk to you again. And just be very blatant about it. And it's like,
well, oof. But. Okay, you and I may really disagree here, which is not something that happens super often. But I was mentioning this when we were kind of talking already, that there's a wounded feminine, and, you know, and there's a wounded masculine as well. When we carry wounds with us, or we carry choices or hurts or perceptions with us, we attract that shit back into our life, because we have things to learn. We have lessons. We need to overcome and get beyond through either empowering ourselves, standing up for ourselves, putting boundaries around ourselves, you know, choosing wiser, things like that. We've got lessons to learn. And I don't, I don't, you know, I still, I don't want to make this about me. Let me see. How do I do this? For somebody to attract that kind of attention to themselves, listen to it, and then put themselves back in a situation where it happens again and again and again, I feel is a person's personal hell. Like, I feel like that is a place where that individual is dealing with tremendous pain.
Mm.
That doesn't mean that that girl shouldn't be able to go out to the bar, that woman shouldn't be able to go out to the bar and not feel like she's being harassed or hurt by words that are being said by people. But what comes up for me is getting to a place where she can go to a bar and own that bar in her person. And when somebody says something or does a red flag that cues any kind of disrespect, any kind of integrity issue or something like that, that you are strong enough to say, I will not, I won't go there. Don't, mm-hmm. You don't deserve my attention. And have that boundary, have that place. Now, where it gets really hard is that we all want to be accepted, right? We all want to be, we want to take people at face value. I talk about vulnerability a lot. Vulnerability is a strength. It is not a weakness.
Right. Oh God. Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people need to understand. You become vulnerable when you choose to become vulnerable. You're weak or a victim when you're not in your power. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. I think, yeah, I think sometimes the question is how do you, you know, which is again, a lot of the work that you do and the discussions that we're having here, it's how people get there.
Right.
How do they
because
hold that space?
The judgments or the words or the actions of others is their journey. It's not your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as it hurts or it tears or it flares something up or triggers, that is your, that's your work. That's your place. That's your energy. That's your response. Why is it hurting? Why, what is the problem? And it's not that there's a problem with you. It's a problem with, old tapes. It's a problem with messages that you've told yourself through your perceptions and experiences and life, you know, whatever life has thrown at you. And so much of our reality is wrapped up in that thought, feeling, action train that goes mm-hmm. through our head, that if we can stop the thought at the very beginning, then that train doesn't go off course and lead us for a crash. You know, if we can control our thoughts by being in our power and understanding our value and not allowing others' stories not accepting or absorbing others' issues because we have a wounded character. You know, we're looking to fill the gaps. We've got all these cracks or crevices or pits or, you know, potholes, whatever, that need to be filled. And when you assume somebody else's shit and just patch it, it's not fixing it. It doesn't make the wound go away. Mm-hmm. It's just a temporary fix. We know all about that here in Minnesota. You know, the roads are constantly under construction because they're never fixed 100% right.
So true.
You know, so,
yes. Always a work in progress.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, what it all comes back around to is the idea of not being enough and that, the shame or guilt or fear of around rejection and not being accepted for who you are inside, because our souls are what's on the inside and we're just having a human experience. So we're supposed to feel these things. We're supposed to deal with these issues. We're supposed to fix our wounds. That's what life's all about, is the journey. But it's our journey. It's not about the other guy at the bar. It's not about, it's about our choices. It's not about, you know, him being an asshole and leaving and saying something as absolutely repulsive as, "I only sleep with size 5. I mean, like, have you seen the movie? What is it? The Circle? It was something where you walk around and all of your stats and stuff are projected. And if people see you, they see everything about you on a screen.
I didn't see that, but I think I know what you're talking about. Like, I remember seeing the...
I think Tom Hanks was in it. I think okay. he oh, was, wow. okay. I think. I'm not 100% sure. But it was like everything was there for people to see. Mm-hmm. But you, it didn't mean that you didn't stop and talk to somebody, and you couldn't stop and have a conversation with somebody and read through all of that information and say, "Oh, she's a size 5. I'll go to bed with her." Mm. There's something about the attraction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's something about the connection. So if you meet a guy in the bar and you had a connection, and then you went and you had like awesome sex, and then he says something ignorant like that on his way out the door, you take it for what it was. It was a great release. It was sex. We had a connection, and he does not deserve another second of my time or air that I breathe.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean? Like, for some reason that happened.
Right. And I hear what you're saying, and I think that that's true. I think where I sometimes come back to a little bit is, it's definitely worth looking at. I mean, obviously, if that, especially if that's a continued pattern, what's going on, what's happening. I also do think that people need to, or would be benefited by thinking about things like that. And when you're saying that, and what damage you're sort of doing or potentially doing, even if it's the whole statement of, you know, it's your responsibility to, I get that and how you take it in, but it's also, it doesn't mean we should be mindless with how we treat people and what we say.
Oh, no, no, no.
And I think sometimes that's how that's get, I've heard people use that as an excuse of, well, if you took it that way, that's your problem. It's like, oh my God, how is that person supposed to take it any other way? Like, I mean, what they do with it, are they angry with you or not? But yeah, any reasonable human being would hear you say X, and they're not going to walk away thinking you're a really great guy. They're going to use that information and say, okay, that's fine. You know, even if they take it well, that's fine, but you're not somebody I or my girlfriends are going to be going out with in the future.
Yeah. Now, is it your argument that you feel as though men do this more than women? Because that's kind of the feeling that I get.
You know, I think that it could be my bias, and that's what I see and hear more, but I absolutely know that it happens both ways.
Yes.
I absolutely know that. And I think, yeah, oh no, I think there's work to be done on both sides. Absolutely. I think our culture teaches women and men different things, and we both have our own sort of shit to deal with.
Right.
And so I guess in my, like, even in my thought when I was editing, it was not like diminish that thought on that person. It was, how do we each understand each other's shit better?
Yeah. I give you credit, because we were talking before we started recording, and there was a statement that Judy had made, and I agreed with her around the idea that if a man wants his penis to look bigger, that he could lose weight. Well, there is some physiology and like anatomy and physiology that goes with that, that makes that statement absolutely true. However, the way it came out sounded like, well, just lose some weight, you know, just sort of like kind of funny, almost
right.
Like,
well, and my friend who originally said that,
right.
You know, that was kind of her intent
was that it was funny, and that was in your head, which
right.
I think was really fun.
It didn't come out well, and I didn't explain, which was just the other piece of that was that I had just watched Carpool Karaoke with Michael Bublé, who talked about that exact type of thing. He had made a joke about himself. He had lost weight, and he had made a joke about himself I didn't fully explain that. And it didn't come off as lighthearted as it was in my head.
Right. So I guess but I give you credit for leaving it in. That's what I wanted to say, is that I want our listeners to know that Judy and I really do see this as a process. And when we're talking things through, we are truly talking them through just to find out how we feel about stuff. And our opinions and our thoughts, we're works in progress as well. So that's why I thought it was really important that we came on today and just kind of owned up to the idea that, yeah, as women, we feel judged all the time. And yeah, we've got boobs, right? We're judged for our boobs, but we don't have a cock hanging out of our body. So it's hard for us to put ourselves in the place of a man who has that appendage hanging off of him all the time that he identifies so much with. I identify with my boobs, you know, like they get in my way sometimes, or I get people who look down at my tits instead of looking at my eyes. But as women, we sometimes look at their package and their pants instead of looking at their whole body as well. I mean, it happens on both sides. And not to say that everybody does it, not to say that every man looks at every woman's tits. I mean, it really is just an awareness thing. And we all would do better to be more body positive about people and try and understand people's essence and who they are authentically as individuals, and not judge the body so much, because there is so much that can sexually happen in whatever body form we have. There's mm-hmm. so much sexual pleasure that can be had that it shouldn't be a limiting factor, specifically where it's shaming somebody or making somebody feel bad, worse, or terrible about themselves. Comments like dad bod, that's not a flattering thing to a man. Or when guys tease each other about, you've got bigger boobs than my wife or something like that,
right.
You know,
yeah.
there's comments that are made amongst men and sometimes women can be just as chiding, you know, we
yes.
can be just as harsh. And so I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that I think that body shaming as a whole, it kind of goes back to the whole idea of judgment. We make snap judgments about people all the time. It's actually a science. You know, as individuals, we are raised, a part of our natural body is to make a snap judgment for fight or flight. And we've elaborated this sense of fight or flight judgment to be anything. It becomes our moral code. It becomes it becomes the way we fit into society, the way we see ourselves in comparison to others. It becomes whether something is good or bad versus somewhere gray on the scale. You know, it just gives us this power trip around being better than or less than somebody.
Or just sometimes it's even uncomfortable. It's not
yeah.
knowing what to do. I actually.
It's a response. You're right. Like
right,
a
yeah.
nervous
it's,
response.
I did a talk at a conference about kind of creating spaces to have discussions more fluidly, more openly, you know, that sometimes we need to be in spaces and create spaces where people can say the words that they know how to use.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the words they have, instead of not allowing a discussion to come forward because people don't know how to frame it. Like, I see this and hear about this. I hear about it more than I see it in the trans community, hearing discussions around people being trans, where I have heard people who have said, I didn't even walk up to that person to tell them that, you know, they had toilet paper on their shoe or whatever the case was, because I didn't know how to address them. And I just thought I was going to screw it up and I didn't want to piss them off. And the fact I noticed they were trans, and if I hadn't even noticed that or thought that, I would have just gone up them and talked to them. And then so seeing that in ourselves,
it's fear, right?
And it's like, I don't want to make this person, I don't want to say the wrong thing or make them feel uncomfortable.
That's a fear of rejection. So it boils down, you know, we talk about those four F's all the time: fear of loss, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and fear of the unknown. So the idea of having a conversation with a trans person, the unknown, the mm-hmm. fear of failing, oh, I didn't do it right, or the fear of rejection, that the person is going to just absolutely like be like, why the hell are you talking to me? Who the fuck are you? You know, that, and that doesn't feel good either.
Right.
And then you have the fear of loss. The fear of loss is a loss of competency in yourself, that you don't feel like this was a valued connection. Like, you were trying to tell them they had toilet paper on their shoe and this person disregarded that. And here you were just trying to be a good human being. So you can find situations where all of those fears lump into one big old nasty spaghetti mess of emotion because you let the thoughts bake in there. Even giving yourself 5 seconds to think about the idea of a person being a trans person versus a person being just a female or a male or whatever, a human, right? Just giving yourself 5 seconds to think that then changes your emotion and then changes a feeling, and then that makes your action. Mm-hmm. So it really does just keep coming back to that thought process. We just need to open our minds and be so much more accepting all around, sexually, not sexually, whatever. I see this all the time. It does not mean that I am free and clear, because I cast judgments from time to time where I'm just like, boy, I do not believe that just came out of my mouth. You know, sometimes it's just so ingrained that we just do something and you don't realize how judgmental it was until after you're trying to backtrack it.
Right, right, right.
Or maybe it wasn't even taken judgmental, but then you think on it and you're like, oh fuck, I messed up.
Right.
I shouldn't have done that. You know, so it really, really, really all impregnates in that thought process. So we just need to be so much more loving and accepting of each other.
And find those ways to backtrack potentially if we need to. I mean, I think
apology.
Right. Or just acknowledge, find the words.
Validation.
Sometimes it's the, you get so caught up in these screwing up that you're a loss for words and you can't even say, I'm at a loss for words right now. Like, those words don't even always come out. And then you spend the next, you know, 20 years of your life remembering, every time you remember that, you're like, ah!
I think you bring up language a lot, and I really appreciate that, because words are so powerful. And you talk about how people just don't have the language to know how to talk to their kids about sex, or how to approach somebody who's a trans person, or how to deal with gender fluidity. You know, we just don't have the language around that. Well, how does that happen? How do you think that we develop better language skills around this stuff aside from just education?
I think it is having conversations in general with people, right? Like, not even the person that is the subject necessarily, but it's like why having conversations with your friends is really helpful.
People that are listening to our conversation can pick up phrases or words,
right,
or
exactly,
concepts they can use in their own life later.
Exactly. And I think it's helpful, you know, for some people, they like literally need to have those words on the tip of their tongue. I didn't think about that until I was listening to, oh my God, I can't remember his name right now. This is horrible. Jim Parsons.
Okay.
Jim Parsons, the guy who plays Sheldon on Big Bang Theory. So he was talking about rehearsing his lines. So I have never been a person to memorize things well. Like, that's something that if I could gain that superpower in my life, I would just love it, right? Listening to him, he said, you know, I read the lines over and over and over again, and I say them so that they come out of my mouth fluidly. I mean, everybody, we learn and we process differently in how we make things happen. But having the words that literally are, in a sense, on the tip of our tongue, that our body knows how to say, I don't think we always get great practice at those times that are, it's difficult, right? But I was listening to him and I was taking that of just thinking of how that makes a difference, why that's helpful to do when you're practicing music and singing. And it's all about getting your body to have that be a muscle memory.
Yeah, but our world is so unpredictable anymore.
So true.
You know, back in the 50s, we had social norms where you didn't talk about certain things. You didn't talk about politics, death, cancer, taxes. Mm-hmm. You just didn't. You talked about the things that were appropriate to talk about. Nowadays, there is no filter. Mm-hmm. There's no filter. So anything that comes at you, to you, through you is so unpredictable anymore unless you're aware enough to put the thought process in before you say it or do it.
Absolutely true.
And so I guess exposure would be a good tool slash exposure. As you were talking about practicing and saying things and having the fluidity and stuff, it takes me back because I think about starting like a charm school for boys and girls.
Okay.
Like how would you do a charm school? How do you reteach people how to be charming or how to be gracious or how to be, how to have manners. How do you teach people to do that these days? Because it's not fundamental in the family upbringing anymore. Mm-hmm. What is a family? We've totally redefined what family means. Family can be anything. Mm-hmm. There is no actual family unit anymore. It's been untaught. So where do people learn those kind of skills anymore? They don't.
True. And I...
So it's hard to expect it. And I guess that's kind of where my idea around being open to being accepting of everyone is to lower our expectations. We can't expect everybody to understand and jump through all of the hoops that we all have as individuals in our minds because we're on our journey.
Right.
How do you possibly expect everybody to act appropriately, do appropriately, look at you appropriately? I mean, like, are we not having human experiences, right?
Well, inappropriate to one person
could be totally different to another. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there is no predictable.
Right. Yeah. And it's like what mindset, because I agree with you, the exposure is also very, very helpful. To just have that awareness, right? Like to be a sex educator, you get exposed to a lot of things in your classes. So things just aren't weird or unusual or make you feel uncomfortable or make you react. Right.
Right.
And I'm thinking of, I like this idea. I'm not great at adopting it. And I know when I'm in patterns, I'm really bad at adopting it. But the idea of taking the momentary back step of when you see something or something happens that you don't quite understand to have the anthropological view of, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, the curiosity, remove the reaction.
Right.
The awe, remove the shock value and make it more about curiosity.
Right, exactly.
That's level 5 energy. That's high acceptance energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you release judgment. You're curious about things. You see everything as an opportunity. You're able to take risks because you are vulnerable. And everything is a win-win situation. Why is that so challenging for people to do when it comes to accepting people? You just don't arrive there. You have to go through some shit to get there.
Right. Exactly. And our body is still in the, keeping us safe mode, right? Like it's if what our body does is to try to keep us safe, we respond to things unusual to that maybe particular thing or unrealistically because somehow that behavior has been good for us, has kept us safe, right? So it is an interesting, and you're right. You have to go through some shit.
It just doesn't happen. And that's why it's very unusual to find and I'm not disparaging our young people, but oftentimes the younger generations and stuff, you can find a curious soul, and sometimes people call them old souls or whatever. You can find some very open and accepting young people, but as a generation or as a whole, it's much more difficult to jump to that level of expectation. Of the expectation of acceptance and non-judgment, because to one person to be totally accepting, the other person will judge every person you accept. Asking that why question. Well, why are you so trusting? What is it about this person that makes you think that they're safe? Why should I? Why do I have to?
Mm.
That gets the ego and the pride involved, which is just detrimental to progress. So,
you know, I was teaching, when I was in college, and I went to college later in life, and I was in a personal development class where I ran like a teaching assistant kind of thing. So I ran some of the groups. I will tell you though, man, those people gave me so much hope for the future.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Because I mean, and I do think, well, first of all, okay, I'm taking a personal development, like I was teaching a personal development class.
Okay.
So you're also taking people who, and I also think I got lucky in my groups, right? Because there were certainly people who were like, I took this class because it was 2 credits, it didn't fit in my schedule, right? Mm-hmm. For the most part, all the people in the small groups that I worked with, they were like, I'm like, oh my God, if I could have been where you are when I was your age, or in some cases right now.
Yeah.
I was so impressed. But again, they were very engaged. They were there to do the work. And so it's a whole different experience than when you've got people who are I took it because it was 2 credits. And some of those people were swayed. I mean, I was impressed at some of the things I saw there too, but it's that being open and willing and not saying, oh, I wouldn't take that class. I don't need personal.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too, is that, okay, so maybe the age bracket I'm talking about wasn't the best example, because when you have kids that are in college, their thought processes and curiosities are being pushed. That's part of college. That's part of university, is helping them to think on their own.
Right.
And many times they haven't had a life smack yet.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had to go out and make things happen on their own yet, or they haven't experienced tough loss, or they haven't been rejected. You know, maybe they, I'm sure there's many that have. So please, that's not where I'm going with this, but I'm saying a lot of times people that are in college they're there to better themselves. So they're already in the mind space of mm-hmm. growth and stuff like that, where maybe the people that are more closed-minded or not as accepting are those who have had some more life smacks at a younger age, maybe aren't in the college realm of developing themselves and, you know, pushing their education to learn more, do more, experience the world in a different way. Maybe the segment of society I'm talking about are the people that have had to push or hustle or drive or cope or settle mm-hmm. with life, because it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been, you know, they've been hurt. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's what life experiences do people have to go through? What life experiences do people have to go through to be so shut down that they can't love themselves or others?
Mm-hmm. And I think those are different, right? Obviously, those same life experiences can lead to such different responses in people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's fascinating.
And then that in itself affects how accepting and loving and kind and empathetic and curious they are about anything else in life.
Right.
That's a lot of the work that I do as a coach, is uncovering what that was
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for that person. They figured out for themselves, what was it? Where was the turning point where your energy just stopped
right.
growing? And right. let's bust through that wall and get you on a path of higher vibe and a more pleasurable life experience. So
it is amazing. I mean, I think for all of the people who don't think coaching or therapy or those things are, you know, I know there are crappy therapists, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. that's just a thing that exists, but to have that understanding of how much you can gain by sitting in a space where talking through your stuff to see where your walls come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really hard to break down a wall you don't even know is there.
Yeah, and it's not the same as talking to a friend. You know, your friend is biased. When you talk to a coach or a professional, you know, a therapist, whatever, mm-hmm. we're trained to stay out of the box and be objective. So we're trained to ask the tough questions. You pay a lot of money to be beat up by our questions and right? for you to have these realizations. So it's definitely an investment, but it can change your entire life perception. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not just, again, because I feel like these days I'm sort of like rebranding myself. I'm a reconnector. That's really what I do, is I reconnect things for people. I help them to plug back in, whether it's a relationship, whether it's sexually, whether it's with nature, energy-wise, finding their passion, purpose, whatever. I'm a reconnector. I help people reconnect with those feelings, passions, purpose, drive, energy. And to help, you know, if you have a power outage at your house, you expect somebody to come out and fix the power, you know?
Right.
You know, you pay for that in your power bill all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, who is it that's fixing your energy? Our listeners, who is it that's fixing their energy when their energy isn't flowing? You know,
it is an interesting way to think about that. Mm-hmm. We can't always fix everything ourselves. I think of all of the stories where somebody thought, well, I thought I could fix that. I mean, and I'm not saying you can't do your own work. By giving yourself some time, some space mm-hmm. to do things, you can pull some stuff. But it is pretty right. amazing to sit down with somebody else and have them do it much more quickly.
It's very effective to sit down with the intent of allowing somebody into your mind. When you allow somebody in there to, you know, push some buttons or to tweak things or to ask hard questions or to identify perhaps patterns or make observations about behaviors that from an outsider's perspective, you don't even acknowledge or know that you have, or maybe you've heard it before, but never really took it to heart because it came from a friend or you were accused of it by your spouse or something else. But you have somebody totally non-judgmental who's totally objective and who's trying to use tools that they've been taught to open up your thought processes around things and allow you to be more accepting, to allow you to drop your judgment, to help you to be more vulnerable, to allow you to attract better people into your life because your energy is open versus closed off, kinked off, busted, whatever. You know, we attract what we put out into the world. So, I guess that's all I'm saying. I am very much an altruistic kind of person where I really would just love for everybody to just get along and love each other. That's really like my mantra. Like, can't we all just get along? You know, that right. kind of a thing.
Right.
And so I live in this high level energy, this level 5, level 6 energy of creation and acceptance and just feeling like blissed out and not being an individual, but being part of a whole. It's a bigger picture out there than what many people have framed their life to be. And I just, I love to share that. So, you know, my mission and with your help is what this podcast is doing. My mission is to change the world's relationship with sex and sexuality. So through our conversations and stuff, I know that I'm planting seeds of thought, planting seeds of hope, planting seeds of change. And that fires me up. That gets me really excited. So I thank you for the platform, of course.
Oh gosh. Yeah. No, I'm glad. This is so much fun. This is always so much fun for me too, mm-hmm. because I love having somebody to talk to the stuff about. Mm-hmm. So it's great. And it is, it's so much, it's also bigger. Like your focus is sexual authenticity, but like, and we've talked about this before too. So much more comes out of that.
Oh, right? Yes.
It's not just sex and sexuality. It's the whole blooming flower, right? Yep. And I think that's so cool. And while you were talking about, you know, why we go to a coach or that kind of thing. And I'm also thinking of, I was listening to a podcast a while back, and the person, not from the Midwest doing the podcast, mm-hmm. I think that's an important distinction to make, basically was saying, you know, friends are your double check. Friends are the people who, you know, who keep you, who are the people who kind of call you on your shit. And I'm thinking, that's what I think sometimes we're missing, yeah. is the friends' relationships to call you on your shit.
Yeah.
And it's,
'cause nobody wants to offend anybody, and right. everybody wants to be in everybody's back pocket. They want to be the friend that you go to, the friend that's encouraging, the friend that has your back. But having somebody's back oftentimes means telling them the truth, whether the truth is something they want to hear or not. But how can you be objective if all you're hearing is one side of a story?
Right. Well, but even sometimes just in one of these conversations I was hearing where that comment got made, it was somebody like trying to date. Like they were saying, look, you know, are your friends giving you any cues? Are they telling you you got bad breath? Are they telling you you're dressing a particular way? Are they telling you that you're putting something out into the world? That's what friends are for. They're to help you with these things.
And yeah, I'm thinking, oftentimes though, friends give us the shittiest dating advice on the planet.
Well, and people don't want to. I mean, I do think there is something to be said for when you have the friend who isn't your yes man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend, we were doing something together and we were joking about that. She's like, well, I'll let you know if this, I had a little weird thing growing on my face. And she's like, I'll let you know when you get old and that thing is nasty and crusty. I'll let you know that thing is nasty and crusty. And I'm like, yay, I want that, you know? And I had a friend of mine who years ago was going through, I mean, this was like, we were in our probably mid 20s. And she had her family, I don't know, for some reason, I was bolder back then, but I basically told her exactly what I thought, what I felt, what I thought people were doing to her. And she kind of hated me for it for a little while.
Yeah.
But said, you're the only one who was straightforward with me.
Hmm.
You're the only one who actually just told me what was going on. And so that's a hard place to put yourself in. And honestly, I wasn't like, I don't know if I'd do the same now. I think I'd still care about her enough that I would want to do that for her.
Yeah. You might have just approached it a little differently
or
maybe used different words or handled it a little more gently and gave the same message over time.
That I think is true, but I think I so much thought
about wisdom's so, 2020.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. Well, and I think so much of it was I was just frustrated that people were not being honest, and that was just killing me. And I'm just like, the whole situation just was jacked up to me. But it was so cool that we've had her and I are in our friendship, and this is one of the reasons we're still friends is that bond you build over that, of her saying in a few different places, she's like, you're the one who called me on my shit. You're the one who told me that I needed to get over X. And it's weird because it's a weird thing to look back and going, I wasn't trying to accomplish anything. I was just being honest and real and concerned for you in the moment, you know, but it's so much value in that. And I also know people who they're supportive no matter what. You could say, you know, I wanted to go out and do this horrible thing. And they'd be like, you should do that if that's what you want to do. That's great. Instead of going, well, now wait a minute. Let's look at the pros and cons here.
Yeah. One of the things that we're actually taught in, you know, being trained as coaches is to ask permission to give that kind of information. Mm. So when somebody is like, going on and on and on, maybe about their partner or whatever, and you see a smidge of truth, you could say something like, would you mind if I brought something to your attention?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I make an observation? Or can I tell you something that I'm hearing through all that? And then when they give you permission, it loses It takes the shock value away.
Yep.
Because now they're bracing themselves for it, and they know that you've heard something that you're going to deliver. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really, really, it's a really good tool to use to just ask permission to interject truth. Mm-hmm. So it helps a lot.
And it takes away the sort of the steam, like you said.
Yeah, the sting. It takes the sting off because they're giving you permission to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that few moments. And, you know, it's coming from a place.
Of care and concern.
It feels like it's coming from a place of caring, or it feels like it can, yeah, where it's not just meh, you know?
Yeah, and then if they say no, you need to be a good friend and accept that they don't want to hear what you have to say, and right, not try and re-deliver it in a different way, because that's being in the box. That's when I say about being in the box, that's about having to make your way known, mm-hmm, having to be right, having to interject your opinion. That's being in the box. So
I have a friend who is very, really good about that. I mean, that is her natural way of existing, and it does create better conversations, and that's something I need to adopt more.
Yeah, it creates good space for accepting whatever's being said to you. So,
all right. Well,
all right. I don't really have much new going on with me.
Okay. Well, we can just give our bits and pieces and stuff. Okay. And
you want to hear about my bits and pieces, right?
I want to hear about your bits and pieces, Patricia.
My bits and pieces. Okay, well, some bits can be found of me on Facebook under my name. You can look me up, Patricia Engelking. You can find me there, like me. The Sex Matters podcast page, you can reach me there also. Send a message, me or Judy. We love your questions, so please feel free to send questions or topics.
They can be topics. I mean, they don't have to be questions. They can be, hey, I've been thinking about this. Here's my thought. What do you all think?
Right. But my book, Crossing the River Called Suffering, is available on the Sex Matters podcast website and on Amazon, Crossing the River Called Suffering. My next book will be out someday, probably after this quarantine thing is over. Yeah, that's about all I've got going on right now because we're all on lockdown. So
yeah, right.
It's just me, myself, and I and my computer. So
but you can do coaching over the
of course I can do coaching over the interwebs. I've I did this thing where I was going to say till the end of quarantine that I am opening myself up to be a secret keeper.
Ooh, what does that mean?
That means that if somebody has something that they really need to just kind of get off their chest, as far as that they need to tell somebody a secret so that they can sort of let go of it and move on, that I am willing to listen. I will not give coaching around it. I'm not going to dive into why it's important. You know, you don't have to talk about it. We'll just exchange some pleasantries and then move into what it is that you need to say. And in that way, I can help some people to release some things that are holding them back. So if they then want coaching after that, we can talk about coaching beyond, but that's not the purpose of my service between now and the end of quarantine.
Can you give a like maybe an example of what might that look like, which I know it's very broad and it's going to be a little different for everybody, but I'm like trying to see, think, when would I think, okay, I have to get a hold of Patricia for a secret.
Okay, if there is, say somebody's got a crush on their husband or wife's best friend, say they had an affair, say they have some fetishes or secret thoughts, or they've gone somewhere or done something that they're not proud of.
Okay. And
it's holding them back in some way.
I can imagine that could be good in just having somebody to tell it to so you can process through it. So maybe you can even get to a point of talking to the person you need to talk to about it.
Right.
But you get that other person to hear it. Like, it's nice to say things out loud and that's helpful. But sometimes if there is another human being there Yeah. It's a different way we process through it.
That's sort of where the coaching part would come in afterward if they mm-hmm. didn't feel like, you know, once they released it, if it wasn't enough and they wanted to know what to do next or, you know, how to proceed, that might be something that requires some coaching afterward. But that isn't, you know, for me, sometimes you just want to, you need to say something and you don't know who to talk to. I'm not keeping any records. There's no recording of the phone call. There's nothing like that. It would simply be you telling probably to you a stranger or an expert or whatever in the confidentiality of a phone call. And, you know, that would be about as anonymous as it would be unless you wanted to pursue it further. So I just thought, you know, in this pent up thing where we feel so stuck, that might be something that was a little freeing to somebody.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that could be when you need to say the words that you cannot say because you feel like a horrible person saying them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think of the mothers who are like, I really want to say I hate my children right now, but I can't say those words because they're horrible things to say.
Yeah.
But I just need to say, you know, right now, yeah. I hate my children.
They're all little you know, bastards.
It just needs to get out of my body.
Stop being a bitch. Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so maybe somebody's thinking about divorcing their spouse or something, and they just need to, sort of like what you're saying about kids, maybe they just need to say it, that they're not in love with their partner anymore, whatever, and just kind of own it.
Or try it on for size.
Yeah, just try it on.
Oh, gosh. Yep. I say these words to another human being. What do I think about that 5 minutes later?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. That's cool.
Without any judgment. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's a service. That's not what I do for a living. It's just a service I'm offering now through the quarantine. So.
Okay. Very cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And they can reach me through Facebook or the podcast. Just send me an email through my website, www.patriciaengelking.com. And you can send an email. We'll set up a time for a phone call. So that's how that works.
Perfect. That's easy.
Okay.
All right.
Easy. Yep.
Yeah.
And you?
My podcast.
Tell me about your bits.
My bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. My bits and pieces can be found all over my website at wellnessrenpodcast.com. And yeah, when this comes out, I don't know what the most recent episode will be, but I've got a person talking about why the liquor stores are open and why they're essential, because I know that's something I see on Facebook a lot, is people are like, I don't understand why the liquor stores are open. Well, she explains that to you. And yeah, by this time this one comes out, I should have a really kind of cool conversation that I had with a judge in Duluth about how to ground ourselves and find our new normal in this new world we have going on. So check that out and subscribe and check out the podcast. There's lots of things there. So yeah, that's the best place to find me right now. Facebook too.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Good stuff all around. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you all for listening. And yeah, feel free to comment. And we do have, I forgot to tell you this, Patricia, we do have a new Patreon person who didn't give us enough information to call them out. And that's totally fine. That's totally acceptable. But I just want to put it out there that that we see you and we appreciate you very, very much.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that. That's awesome.
Yes. It's nice to know people are out there and listening. And, you know, as podcast people, we, especially in quarantine, we're really, really, really behind a mic. So knowing that you're out there, be it comments or likes or shares, and I know this is the type of podcast that sharing this isn't always easy for everybody. Mm. So I get that. And I totally, totally get that. But if you are able to comment or just shoot us even just a message on Messenger that doesn't have to be public in any way, we really do appreciate that. I have comments from some people who are listening and I value that a lot. So
yeah, absolutely. We like to know that we're making an impact with somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes just hearing that, you know, something hit home with you it's a wonderful, I should share that with you. I did get a message on my personal email not email, my personal Facebook page, from somebody saying that they listened to the small penis and micro penis conversation and mm-hmm. that they got a lot out of it. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Yay.
But maybe he sent it to me personally so that it wouldn't out him
sure.
in one way or another. I don't know.
Right. But, and that's totally fine. Yeah. Yeah. Our goal isn't to out
people. Anybody. No. So there's that.
That's not the plan. So cool. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for everybody commenting in whatever fashion. Thank you for supporting. If there are topics people want to hear about, either they're curious or they're just like, hey, this is a topic we're not, you know, that we need to just talk about more. Throw mm-hmm. it out there.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, thank you all. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Patricia, for being such a wonderful conversationalist.
Oh, of course. And thank you to you too. Love, love. Love, love light, love. And libido. Adios.
Take care, everybody.